Welcome back to Real Talk About Feminism, everyone. We are back with another episode, and we're talking about relationship attachment styles today. And I'm excited because we just dove into it.
I've been so fascinated by this lately because I feel like it affects so much of our relationships without us knowing. Mm-hmm. So it'll be really good, but we have some updates, some announcements, some stuff to get into first. First, I want to mention that November is American Indian Heritage Month. So let's remember that as we go through this month. And as of recording today, it's Dia de los Muertos. Yay. So I'm watching Coco after this.
Yes. Oh, I want to watch it. I'll watch it with
you. We'll put it on.
Yeah.
Literally the cutest Disney movie.
I know. I've been seeing everyone's ofrendas.
Yes.
Is that good?
Yeah.
I've been seeing everyone's ofrendas and on TikTok and like the animals, like watching, like you can yes, tell that they're there. And like, I'm like, oh my God.
It's so special.
Yeah.
One of my coworkers today, she brought in Mexican sweetbread. I don't know the actual term, but she brought that in and she shared with everyone. And we were all like, thank you so much. And she was like, happy day of the dead. And we were like, happy day of the dead. But it was fun. I just wanted to mention that as well.
It's also, November is also National Hospice and Palliative Care Month.
Have to give healthcare workers.
Shout out to the healthcare people. No, but honestly, I'm like working on a project at work to just spread awareness about that. And it's really making me like, obviously hospice is like a really important thing. Mm-hmm. It's really making me be like really passionate about it. Cause I'm like, this is like a really amazing thing, you know?
Yeah, no, totally.
So was a hospice CNA.
Yeah, like our home health patients who were torn about going to hospice or like their families and stuff, I would have to like help them see that it's not just like a death wish, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah. So yeah, that was a little shout out to the healthcare, but it is important.
It's really important. And it's Scorpio season.
I know. I'm not really feeling the Scorpio energy. I just feel like I kind of have just been getting bad luck. And I feel like since it's my season, I should be in my full form. But it's okay because Scorpio season's not over and I'm going to come back and slay.
Yes. So at the time we're recording this, Haley's birthday has not passed. Mm-mm. But happy late birthday.
Yeah, when this drops, I'll be 22. It'll be my Taylor Swift
year. Taylor Swift year.
I'm so excited. So I'm going to be in Virginia with Kendrick for my birthday. And literally, I think I want to stay up until midnight on the 7th
and
play 22. I'm like, you should. I just want to.
Why not?
So yeah, I'll let everyone know how that goes. And we're going to go out for my birthday, but it'll be in a few weeks when I come back. And I don't know what we're doing, so I'm excited.
And we'll recap for sure.
Yeah.
Before we get into our obsessions, we also want to give a reminder about the situation going on with Israel and Palestine. And how hard and heavy that is. And I know at work frequently they have sent out reminders to talk to someone or to spend less time on social media and the news and just kind of detach from it because it is a helpless feeling because so many people are dying and it's a really horrible situation, but it can weigh on you. And I want to give that reminder because we're like all living our lives and everything, but this is still going on. And it's easy to forget about it, but it's horrible. And a lot of people's lives are being taken and turned upside down.
I know. It's like making me realize, like, I feel like I'm having a rough time in life right now, but I'm like, I don't have to worry about like being bombed or not to put my stuff like down, but I'm like, there's a literal like genocide going on. And it's awful. And so, yeah, definitely we're sending our love and support to anyone affected and really just take note of how you're doing because if you need to take a social media break, like take a social media break. I keep seeing these heartbreaking videos of like the medical workers with, I saw this one today of this woman who was a doctor and she, you know, they're like all just like, going through the ropes. But she's a doctor. She's like treating other patients. And then the emergency people like run this kid on a stretcher and it was the doctor's daughter. And it was so sad. Like, I was just like, there's so many lives being taken and like, like so innocently on both sides.
It's very sad. It's heartbreaking. It feels really helpless because even though like we have stuff going on in our lives that's like so hard and like mental health is rough right now, it's like, it's a hard balance because like you want to give that to yourself and acknowledge it.
Mm-hmm.
But also it's like, how can I even complain about anything?
Right.
But it's all relative.
It is all relative. So yeah, like not to say like our issues are nothing, but like, I don't know.
It just puts it into perspective. It does. But that's all it is. It's because you're right. Like, I don't have to worry about being at a festival and getting bombed. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't have to worry about, like, my family not knowing where I am or vice versa.
Yeah.
So we just want to put that reminder out there. But it is a heavy time in the news. There's just always stuff going on. And this is heavy. So.
And also for, if you're wherever you are in the world right now, if you're entering your like fall and winter season, like seasonal depression is like, you know, about to run rampant too. So just like really check in with yourself mentally because it is a really hard time right now.
It is something in the air. Like yeah. Everybody that I know is going through something.
Yeah. There's like a billion planets just, in retrograde or something.
It's so bad.
Yeah.
It's so bad.
Yeah. So we just wanted to acknowledge that and send our support and just do what you can to take care of yourself. I wish there was more that we could do, but there's like really nothing else we can do other than just send our love.
Yeah, unfortunately. Well, we'll get into our obsessions. Feels so stupid.
Yeah.
So my obsession is this butternut squash soup that I made last night. And I ate it for lunch today. It was so good.
Okay, I have yet to try it.
It is so good. I seasoned it so well. And it has a tiny bit of spice to it because I put a lot of pepper.
Mm-hmm.
But the consistency was perfect. The seasoning was there.
Yum.
And I'm going to make it again.
I love it. Yeah, we have been in our trying to be in our like seasonal produce era. At least I've been trying.
No, definitely. And I appreciate it.
Yeah, because I'm like, eating seasonal is like really good for your body. And we didn't ever do that growing up. Not that that's a bad thing, but we just didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And so like branching out, trying new things and just like eating like squash and like stuff like that just feels so fally. So yeah.
It's been good.
Okay. I will try your soup tonight or tomorrow for lunch.
And I need a written review.
Okay. I'll let you know. I'll put it on the Instagram story so everyone can see. Okay, my obsession kind of like goes a little bit with that, but it's been really cold in Denver. Today was like randomly almost 70 degrees, but it's been like.
Was it?
Yeah.
Oh.
The high was 67. And ooh. I was like sitting outside today and it was so nice. But it's been really cold. And while I don't like the cold and the snow, I will say I like feeling cozy with like wearing my UGG minis, drinking my chai, bundling up in blankets. Like, I was just, like, watching a movie and just, like, relaxing for, like, an hour after work today. Just literally not on my phone, just bundled in blankets. And it was so nice.
That's literally the best feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Before we went out on Halloween weekend, I rotted on the couch for, like, half of the day. And I didn't feel guilty, which is rare, and it was amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And like, we need more of that.
Yeah, because, like, and I'm sure this is a lot of people, but, like, if we're watching a show or a movie, we are on our computer, we're on our phone editing TikToks, we're, me, a little bit less right now, but, like, we're just, like, working on stuff always, and I've been trying to be really mindful of that. Because, like, I'll be on FaceTime with Kendrick on my iPad. I'll be editing a TikTok on my phone, and I'll have a show going. And he'll literally be like, you need to stop working. Like, and I'm like, no, I can't be like that, you know?
I know. It's so hard.
So.
It's so hard. And I got in the bad habit the past week and a half of falling asleep to a show.
Oh, that's just been me.
I know, but it's not good for you. And no. I'm like, I can't do that anymore. It's like the constantly being plugged in.
Yeah.
That's exhausting.
It is. Yeah. And I'm feeling that. So maybe I'll try. I've been like trying to just listen to more music and not really have my TV on if I don't need to have it on. But it is hard. So I'm going to make that my goal this week. That's yeah, like deconnect a little bit.
We all need to disconnect a little bit.
Yeah. Okay. So we're both kind of obsessed with the cozy vibes, even though it has been like cold and snowy, but it's okay.
Well, all the snow's melted, which is nice.
It's still on the roofs. It probably melted today, but yeah.
I was like, I haven't seen any snow. It's all melted.
Oh, well, maybe because from my window, I can see, like, all the lower roofs. And so, like, I see all the snow on top. Yeah. But, like, there's still snow on
the roofs. And, like, the buildings that are in the shade, yeah, they're not going to melt.
Yeah. But anyways. Okay, let's get into the feminist highlight.
So today's feminist highlight is Bianca Bustamante. She's an 18-year-old F1 Academy racer who is the first female driver to join the McLaren Driver Development Program. She was born in the Philippines, and she made her single-seater debut in 2022, competing in W Series, where she claimed the top rookie honors. This year, she joined the grid for the inaugural F1 Academy season with PREMA Racing, earning 2 wins and 2 podiums. She said, "This is such an unreal moment in my career. To sign with McLaren and ART Grand Prix is way beyond anything I could have ever imagined growing up racing karts in the Philippines. I still have a hard time seeing my name next to McLaren without getting emotional. As the history and heritage linked to this team leaves me truly speechless." I know I'm going to start my period because I just teared up at that.
Aww.
I don't know.
No, but like when she said like she never imagined that when she was racing karts in the Philippines, I'm like,
it's just crazy to think about, like, when you're little and you don't know anything that's going to happen in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're older and you're like, what the heck is going on? Yeah.
Okay, I love that you highlighted her. So just a little background. I have been getting into Formula One racing lately, prompted by my boyfriend because he's, like, super into Formula One. He likes Red Bull. That's his team. But he also loves Lewis Hamilton. And so I was like, oh, since I'm going to be like an F1 girly, I need to have a team because I just didn't want to like follow my boyfriend. And so I just randomly decided that McLaren was going to be my team. And then recently I saw that. So like I don't watch the races, but Kendrick will like keep me updated. And I follow McLaren on Instagram. So like I like see all the stuff and I'm kind of learning. But when I saw that, I was like, no, like literally a female like in the F1 Academy, like you go girl. And she's so young.
That's so cool. I don't know anything about racing.
I don't either. I'm not going to try and make it seem like I do, but I'm trying to like slowly learn and it's really cool. And it's also like deep in our family roots.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of fun to feel like connecting with the family a little. But yeah, I love that. Thanks for highlighting her.
Yeah, she's doing cool stuff and she is so young.
I know. And she's so cute.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So congrats to her.
Congrats, Bianca. And her last name, Bustamante. I love it.
Yeah. It's so fancy.
We're going to take a quick break to talk about our sponsor, BetterHelp.
It's 2023 and it's time to really prioritize our mental health this year. No matter where you are in life, everyone can benefit from therapy. Whether you need to work through trauma or just need a safe person to talk to, BetterHelp is here for you.
BetterHelp is the world's largest online therapy service. Get matched with a professional licensed therapist in your state who you can trust.
BetterHelp has options to communicate with your therapist via chat, email, or video, and you can message them at any time to get help.
BetterHelp is giving our listeners 10% off if you sign up using the link in our show notes.
If you're struggling with depression, anxiety, relationships, trauma, grief, or just need someone to talk to, try BetterHelp today by clicking the link in our show notes or go to betterhelp.com/RTAFpod to get 10% off today.
Yeah. So we're going to get into our episode. And as we mentioned in the beginning, we're talking about relationship attachment styles. I think this is kind of a hot topic in the past year or so. And we're going to go into each of the 4 types. We're going to give characteristics and some examples, and then we'll talk about our own.
I'm really excited to talk about this.
Yes. So there's 4 types, and they are anxious, also known as preoccupied, avoidant, also known as dismissive, disorganized, also known as fearful avoidant, and secure. Our attachment styles often develop as children, and it's shaped and affected by how our parents or primary caregivers met our needs growing up and our relationships with them. Kind of getting into some Freudian logic here.
Mm-hmm. I have some thoughts on that after, but keep going.
Okay. A lot of it is based on how we perceive our caregivers' treatment towards us as kids.
Okay.
Now, the first of the attachment styles is anxious or preoccupied. It can go by both names. Some characteristics include: they tend to have more of a negative self-view, but a positive view of others. May see themselves as not being worthy of love. The thought of living without their partner makes them highly anxious. They deeply fear abandonment. In relationships, they can be clingy and demanding, and they may be desperate for reassurance from their partner because they're trying to combat those feelings of fear. They strongly desire security in relationships and value attentiveness, responsiveness, and care. And another common one is they worry that their partner is not as invested in the relationship as they are. Now, before we get into discussion, people usually fit the profile of one style more than others, mm-hmm. but it's all a spectrum. So you can have traits of all of them. You can have traits of two. You can really identify with one.
Yeah.
But it's all a spectrum.
Okay.
So when you take a quiz and it's like, you're anxious attachment style, take it with a grain of salt, kind of.
Yeah.
Because you might have, like, I see myself having some anxious traits.
Yeah, like, everyone's got, maybe not everyone, but, like, everyone's got a mix of something.
Yes, exactly.
So
okay. Your profile is what you tend to lean more towards, or what you, like, have more dominant traits in.
Mm-hmm.
But you can have multiple.
Yeah, like, maybe, like, you take the quiz, and then if you resonate with any other ones, then
right.
That fits.
But. Right, definitely. And usually when you're reading about it, you're like, that sounds like me. Yeah. That feels like me.
I like the sound of that. Okay. Okay, so that was anxious.
Yeah, that was anxious.
What's the second word for it?
Preoccupied.
Preoccupied, okay.
But it's usually referred to as anxious.
Okay.
Next one is avoidant attachment style or dismissive. They tend to have a positive self-view of themselves and negative self-view of others. Negative view of others.
Okay.
They have a high sense of emotional independence and self-sufficiency. They often have the belief that they don't need a relationship to feel complete in an extreme way. Not just like,
I don't need a man. Like, they, like, really don't think they need one.
Right.
Okay.
But also, it's like, I kind of resonate with that because it's like, I don't need a relationship to be complete,
mm-hmm.
but I want one.
Right? Me? I need one.
They don't want to depend on others or have others depend on them. Another common trait is not caring about seeking support or approval from social relationships. They often hide or suppress feelings and can sometimes avoid conflict and may begin to withdraw from a relationship if they sense the other person becoming reliant on them, usually regarding emotional or intimacy.
Okay.
And if it sounds like kind of extreme as mm-hmm. you're hearing this, it's because it is. Like, that brings me back to the spectrum, right?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. So, like, this is, like, the most extreme cases.
Definitely. Definitely.
Okay.
Next is disorganized or fearful avoidant. This one is kind of what it sounds like. It's a mix of anxious and avoidant. They tend to go back and forth between both anxious and avoidant, depending on what they have going on in their life and their mood. So it can fluctuate.
Mm-hmm.
Social and emotional behaviors from this person can sometimes be confusing to others. People with this attachment style feel conflicted because they do want intimacy and closeness, but on the other hand, they experience troubles trusting and depending on others.
Interesting.
They have an intense fear of getting hurt and often avoid emotional closeness or intimacy to avoid this, and some struggle with regulating their emotions.
Okay.
Lastly is secure, and this is what it sounds like. It's secure. All of the other three styles are considered insecure.
Okay.
Because there's some aspect of insecurity.
I'm offended.
Just kidding. Don't take anything personal, anybody. People with secure attachment style comfortably and openly express their emotions. They can depend on their partner and also allow their partner to rely on them. They thrive in relationships, but also they thrive alone. They don't have a fear of being alone.
Okay.
So it's kind of with avoidant, where you don't need a relationship to feel complete.
Yeah.
Their relationships are built on trust, honesty, tolerance, and emotional closeness. They have a positive self-view of themselves and others. They often do not overly seek external approval or validation and can successfully identify and regulate their emotions and even help their partner to do so. Obviously, this sounds perfect. Nobody is like this.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you've been through years of therapy and really worked on yourself.
Okay.
So the point with learning about relationship attachment styles is so that you learn what your tendencies are in a relationship so that you can have the healthiest relationships possible. Because if you know, I tend to be more anxiously attached, but my partner is more avoidantly attached, then you can find some common ground and have ways to communicate with each other mm-hmm. and get understanding.
I am like obsessed with this, and I need Kendrick to take it because like it's kind of like the love languages. Like when you know each other's, then it only helps your relationship.
Exactly.
So I'm like, okay, wait, I need to figure this out, and then we can like talk about it and work with it, you know? Like
exactly.
I think that's also helpful with like resolving conflict too. Because then you know, like, if your partner is, like, super anxiously attached, then maybe you go about things a different way than you would with someone who's, like, super secure, you know?
Right. For example, if you have a conflict, somebody who is anxiously attached may be like, let's work this out right now. Please don't leave. Like, let's work this out. Whereas the partner who may be avoidantly attached is like, I'm going to leave. I will be back. Hopefully they say that, right? Mm-hmm. We'll talk about this tomorrow, for example. And the anxiously attached person is like, oh my gosh, they're going to leave me. We're over. They're going to abandon me. But then the avoidantly attached person is like, I just need space because I need to regulate my own emotions and take care of myself mm-hmm. and then go back to my partner.
So it sounds like the last two relationships I was in, they were both avoidant because I've not, and that means like Kendrick is not avoidant because like that exact same situation I've been in with a few different people where like, no, I'm leaving. I need space. And for me, I'm like, no, like that means we're done. That means we're breaking up, you know? So like that resonates.
And that's not just because of an attachment style, right? There's so many factors that affect this, but it can help you to maybe be like, this is the tendency. Let's figure out how we can work this out in a healthy way.
Yeah.
I also want to read a couple things that I found from the source that I'm using for this information because it was super helpful. I really liked the source. Check it out in the show notes. They said, each of the four attachment styles has its own typical traits and characteristics, yet a person may not necessarily 100% fit into a single category. Attachment is a spectrum, and you may not match the profile of a specific style exactly. However, the aim of self-awareness is to identify unhealthy behaviors and understand what you might need to work on in order to improve your love life, which understanding traits of each attachment style and how they develop can facilitate. So again, kind of recapping what I mentioned in the beginning. Attachment styles can also change with major life events and different partners, mm-hmm. which makes sense, mm-hmm. right? For example, an insecurely attached individual could form a secure bond when they have a securely attached partner. On the other hand, it's also possible for someone with a secure attachment style to develop unhealthy relationship behaviors after experiencing trauma or losing a loved one. So many people do not fit completely into one specific profile. It's very interesting because I think if you've been in relationships more than one, you can see this play out in your own life. We can definitely attest to that. Yeah. I feel like I'm with a securely attached person right now. And it has helped me to be more securely attached. I could not say that in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you have some more securely attached tendencies right now. Even if it doesn't feel like it.
Yeah, I'm like, it's kind of hard because we are long distance.
Yeah, that's true.
And so like that kind of muddles things anyways. Because like, I feel like that makes it easier to be anxiously attached because like you're not together. Not that I feel like anxious has a bad connotation because it's not like I'm like, who is he cheating on? No, it's like, I miss him. I want to be with him, you know? And so I know I'm just anxiously attached, like in every way, mm-hmm. but like, especially with long distance, it does get harder.
And I like how you brought up that it has a negative connotation. Just because you're tendency is to be anxiously attached does not mean you're overly clingy or can't live without this person. Mm-hmm. This is a tendency, mm-hmm. right? So with anxiously attached, it's a lot of feelings of fear of abandonment.
Yeah. I'm like, uh-huh.
Yeah. I'm like, I'm not sure where else to go with that. That's like a main thing about it.
Yeah.
But, you know, that can fluctuate, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So you are anxiously attached. We both took the quiz. Mm-hmm. I took the quiz and I was securely attached, which I thought was interesting.
I thought you said no one was securely attached.
No, I said the traits that I was reading, that's obviously a perfect situation.
Oh, okay. Okay.
But again, it's a spectrum.
Okay. So we're quite opposite.
But no, I have anxious attachment tendencies.
Okay.
That's what I was mentioning before. Like right now, I feel very securely attached. In the past, I was so anxiously attached. Mm-hmm. It wasn't even funny. But like we mentioned before, depending on who you're with or what you have going on in life or like things that you've learned from in the past, your tendency can change. Mm-hmm. So right now I would say that I'm securely attached.
Yeah. Well, I'm like thinking about myself and for example, like the last relationship I was in, I was way more anxiously attached, but that was valid because I had to worry about being cheated on every week. So... And that was, like, full shade intended. And then, like, the relationship before that, I was also cheated on. So, like, that's also valid.
Right.
But I look at where I was then and where I am now. And I'm still anxiously attached, but, like, it's a much healthier thing.
Yes.
Because I've been through therapy. I think, like, that's just who I am as a person. Mm-hmm. But, like, I've been through therapy. I've, like, worked through things. And I am in a very healthy relationship. So I'm, like, I can see the transition of, like, when I was, like, extremely anxiously attached. And now I'm, like, I'm anxiously attached, but it's in a healthier way, you know?
And I can see that, too. Definitely. It's right. Very obvious. So even though you're, like, that's so me. I'm so anxiously attached. I don't think so. Mm. Okay. I think you're, like, securely anxious.
Okay. You know what yeah, I mean? Yeah. No, I know what you're saying. Okay. Secure fits for you for sure. Like,
yeah,
it does.
Yeah. But again, it also helps when you have somebody who is securely attached or is one of the insecure styles, but knows it mm-hmm. and has worked through it. Right. Yeah. I also wanted to talk a little bit about how knowing your attachment style isn't just for people in relationships because it's just like the love languages or like any of these other little quizzes. If you know things about yourself and you are not in a relationship, then once you get into one, you're going to have an idea of like maybe how you're going to react in certain situations
yeah,
and ways to work through that.
And also like... I know that this is, like, relationship attachment styles, but, like, you can get attached to, like, other people, oh, you know?
Definitely.
So, like, you know, it isn't just for relationships, but I like how you said that. Like, if you've never been in a relationship, take the quiz and try and think about, like, oh, like, is this me? Like, maybe this is something I need to be aware of. And if you've been in a relationship but you aren't in one now, look at your past and think about how you could, like, work with it. In the future, you know?
That's such a good point. It's all just a learning tool.
Yeah.
When you take the quiz, we'll link it in the show notes because I really liked the one that we took.
Yeah, I did too.
It asks you in the beginning, are you single or are you in a relationship?
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's a good tool overall. And it's just so interesting. Like, I want to look more into the childhood aspects of it and get into that.
Yeah, because that's what I was going to bring up earlier. I'm like, so if it comes from like, when you were a child and like how you perceive your caretakers were and we're siblings, I'm like, and when I think about it, I'm like growing up, like mom and dad are really good parents. Like they always provided for us. They were loving. Like, so I'm like, how did I turn out anxious?
Well, it's not just that, right? It's major life events that happen to you.
No.
Okay. But a lot of it, it's just like, Freud, like he's saying a lot of things
go back to childhood.
Exactly.
Okay.
So it's just another one of those.
Okay. Yeah.
Because if you think about it, like that's are usually people's first major relationship. And so how you perceive you're being treated in that is probably going to affect you.
True.
As you're an adult.
True. Yeah. And like, wait, childhood, first relationship, that's when I was 16. That wasn't that long ago.
No, I'm talking about your parents. Or caregivers.
No, I know, but you said first, okay, I might have just missed, but you said first relationship.
Our, not a romantic relationship.
Oh, okay.
But just our first, like, major relationships in general is with our parents or our primary caregivers.
Yeah.
And we depend on them to provide for us.
True.
Right?
Yeah. Okay, that's interesting. Yeah, I like that. I think it's just like the love languages, astrology, Enneagram. Like, it's just like another tool to learn human design.
Exactly.
It's like that's another tool to learn about yourself. Mm-hmm. And if you don't believe in it, that's fine. But I mean, if you look at us, I think we're two really good examples of our attachment style. So like, it just helps. Like,
it does.
I don't know. It's interesting.
It does. I really liked reading about it because it's just like so validating to me that I'm in a good relationship. So I'm like, mm-hmm. my man is so secure. Like, I never worry about anything. Mm-hmm. And it's the nicest feeling.
I know. Isn't that nice when you don't have to worry about that?
Trauma.
Oh, literally.
I like how you were like, that was full shade intended.
Because can I just say,
yes,
can I just say that in my last relationship, very early on, there was a fake eyelash found in the bed, and I don't wear fake eyelashes, and somehow I let him convince me that was fine. And then a few months later, there was lip gloss in the bed, and it wasn't
in the
mine.
Bed?
In the room.
Oh my gosh.
So yeah, that was full shade intended. But no, it's like with the, I think with the relationship attachment styles too, like you think about like, if I would have taken this relationship attachment style quiz at this time last year and seen like, okay, if I would have really thought about I'm anxiously attached and seen that being manifested, you know, like in my relationship. Because I was, like, begging, you know?
Yeah.
And – but, like, I'm not faulting myself or anything. No. But it's just it's very interesting because I'm, like, that could have been a really useful tool for me to know and, like, really evaluate myself, you know? And, like, help myself get out of it.
Maybe. But it's always easier when you're out of it.
It's – yeah, that's true. But
I'm,
like –
because we've all been there where you're, like, Kate, something's not right here. And somehow you convinced me that I was – stupid, right?
I'm like, so somehow I let you tell me that the cat just brought that in the bed. Like,
that is so typical man behavior.
No, literally. I'm like, ew.
That's
okay.
So toxic.
Yeah. So
we've graduated from that.
We've graduated.
You have graduated from that.
Yeah. And honestly, like, I just was trying to be loved, you know? Like,
yeah.
Not to like bring it so serious, but like, it's not always your fault, you know, like,
no, it's
you
not.
Learn,
it's
you,
not,
but yeah, like, I'm in a happy, healthy relationship now. I would never tolerate that again, but it is very interesting because, yeah, I'm like, I'm still anxiously attached, but like, it's so much different.
Yes.
Like, and it's not, I don't think it's a negative thing. It can be.
It has such a negative connotation.
It does. It can be though. Cause like, even like if, you know what, like when you get into a little argument or like a tiff in a relationship, like emotions are just elevated anyways. Mm-hmm. And like I can even see, like I recognize in myself sometimes I'm like, hold on, I'm just literally being dramatic right now. Or like I'm just like my anxious attachment style is coming out. And now like I feel like that will help me kind of like to gauge it. But because sometimes I'm like, girl, like I'm just dramatic. Like, come on, you know?
Yeah, the self-awareness.
But no, I do like this. I like this.
Yeah. You're like, this is life-changing.
No, like, I obviously, like, keep rambling on, but I, like, really like it. Because I did the attachment styles quiz, but this is all new for me because Ken's is, like, teaching me. And so I'm just fascinated. I love
it. No, I've literally been obsessed with it for, like, a year.
You actually have.
Yeah, I've mentioned it several times.
Yeah. We should have like an expert.
I want to so bad. Mm-hmm. Because I want to go more into how you can use it and not just the characteristics and like self-discovery.
Yeah.
Which is important. That's where you have to start.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to like literally go talk to someone and be like, how can this help me?
Yeah.
How can this help my relationship?
Yeah. It would be interesting if you, like, I wouldn't do this now, but like if I was like engaged or married, like to go to like, a, like someone who
right.
knows and be like, how can this help us?
Even if you're in a good relationship.
Yeah.
Everybody can always use it.
Yeah. So that's cool.
Yeah. Well, that was the end of this episode. And be sure to take the quiz. I'll put it in the show notes. It's free. And
we'll put a poll on the story to see what everyone's attachment style is.
We will do that.
Yeah.
I'm so curious. Mm-hmm. I just love how, like, complicated people are. Like, everyone's so different and unique and, like, has such different backgrounds. It's so interesting.
I know. It's so fun.
Well, be sure to follow us on all our platforms. We have that linked in the show notes as usual. We also have our Google form where you guys can anonymously, if you choose, submit anything that you would like to tell us and we can share it in an episode. And we'll be back next week.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.